the JT the Brick Show, broadcasting live from the Finley Cadillac Performance Studio, your silver and black home to sound off for over 25 years. And now, here's JT the Brick.
Nope, not exactly. Not today, boys and girls. Hello. Hello, Las Vegas. Hello, Internet. Hello, Raider Bleepin' Nation. It's Bobby. Those of you that know me or have ever called the show or have listened to the show for more than 5 minutes, you know who Bobby is. My name is Bobby Machado. I'm the producer of this fiasco known as the JT the Brick Show. And I've got another hour to fill, so we're going to do our best to do so and fill it. 702-365-9200. If you want to call, I may take your call. I may not. I may just play music for the next hour. Who the hell knows? By the way, for those of you who are looking for me on YouTube, don't bother. I look like bleeping Quasimodo. I am not going to be on YouTube whatsoever. Even my girlfriend, I got to be in the dark. I'm just one ugly son of a bitch, and it's okay. And we're kind of used to that sort of thing, and it's okay. So, now that I've cracked up everybody in the room, let's bring up my buddy, my pal, the lovely and talented Jared Justice.
Oh, man.
Who does like about 50 things around here other than the JT the Brick Show. What's going on, dude?
Oh, not much. Not much. When you told me we're going to have fun, I didn't realize how much fun.
Like, yeah, I'm going to have some. I love JT. He's a good guy. I've worked with him for 100 years. No sense of humor. There is just no laughing on this show whatsoever, ever, 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 by any means. If I'm going to be on the mic, we're going to laugh our asses off. And that's all there is to it. I like to have fun. I like to have a good time. I like to, you know.
It's bye week. Let's have some fun.
And I like to go get high, hang out, listen to the Grateful Dead, eat cookies, you know, enjoy your life. And that's not any of this. Good Lord. How about those Raiders, kid?
I mean, yeah, they're
a team, okay.
Yeah, and I think that today they made a bunch of really good moves that are gonna hopefully like right the ship, and you know, bringing Norv Turner in can't be bad. I mean, I remember
you're literally trying to sell me this, and you know damn well I'm not buying it.
Okay, well, all I know is that I'm fascinated to see after like a bye week, everyone's healthier. What everything looks like. But I'm very much also the guy that's like, I don't do predictions because I'm like, why would I predict something? I get to watch it. Like, yeah. Talk to me after. You want to talk to me beforehand?
I'm not a prediction guy. I couldn't, you know, whatever's going to, as Doris Day once said, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. And I feel bad. You know, I mean, I told these guys earlier, I feel bad for the Raider fans because some of these guys, I mean, you know, tickets ain't cheap. These guys that are going out there and they're setting up their tailgates at like 7 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday, freezing their asses off and whatnot, just to get your ass handed to you by Carolina or some other team. It's just, come on, man. And that has got to be. And you would think after a while, they'd be like, you know what? Bleep this. I'm going to stay home and watch the game. I'm not doing any of this. But they're there every Sunday, just dedicated and loyal. Like I said, I don't know if it's loyalty or stupidity, but they're there.
And that's something that's to be admired, but at the same time, kind of confusing. But I appreciate the fact that, especially whether it's good news on a Monday, bad news on a Monday, the phone lines light up and everybody has an opinion. And it's everybody, it's a very diverse set of opinions, especially, I mean, you've cut sound. If you watch the chat going whenever during live.
See, I told you about this. I told you this the last hour, especially with McDaniels last year.
Oh, that was a whole different thing. That was one thing. I'm talking like just there's factions within factions, but they all have one thing in common. They all love the Raiders. They all want the Raiders to be successful, but everybody has a different idea of how.
Yeah, fire this, fire that, fire the other guy.
And I kind of prefer that diversity of thought than like the.
I got mail.
Yeah,
Anyway, go ahead. Don't mind that.
Certain teams have a very like militaristic. It's the team is the best thing ever, and we will support the team no matter what. And oh, you're just being negative. And it's like, no, this group of fans, they'll support the team, but they also like, and they have their opinions. They think that this thing should go this way or that thing should go this way, and they're not afraid at all to express it. And that's why I think that compared to our other stations in the building, we have four sports stations in total. This is the one that takes calls. This is the one that can take calls because it's the one that does. Like, it allows the fan base to express their opinions. There's There's not going to be a whole difference of opinion for ESPN. Like, as a UNLV alum, I love UNLV. I'm shocked to death that they're
winning.
Yeah, they're winning as a football team. But I think that is the opinion. Like, no one walked in to this UNLV season or last UNLV season and went, I expect them to be very, very good. No. We've got 25 years of us watching the team.
Do we have 25 years?
Like, we know what it was going to be. So now every UNLV football fan's opinion is the exact same. Like, I'm just happy to be here. Yeah. Like, this is just a very nice thing.
We might make
thing.
A bowl game 2 years in a row?
Right.
Get out of here.
But it's that where comparatively, like, the diversity of thought is, I think, something that I think goes underappreciated about what JT, what the Morning Tailgate, and what Q do here on Raider Nation Radio. And I say that as somebody who's completely outside. Like, I might run Q's show once every 6 months. Mm. So that's the thing that I really appreciate about them. And they're in a really rough spot. And but at least it's the bye week. At least it's the bye week. Like, that's the part that I think everybody...
Oh, it doesn't matter. The hearts are still bleeding out there. I've heard them.
Right.
I've got a couple calls already today. People, what are we going to do? Like, it is what it is.
Exactly. And that's, I mean, so, and if I've ever filled in on Q's show, they know this because he takes every opportunity to remind me of it, that I'm the resident Chiefs fan in the building.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, it's a lot easier to, like, gloss over things when you're winning. But
when
cures
all ills.
Right. And so, a guy, the Chiefs picking up a guy a week and a half ago and him scoring a touchdown and looking incredible. Oh, well, yeah, you know that's how it's going to work. And it's like, no, it's just that's been built over the course of many years.
Now that I'm thinking of it, you watched the game last night, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, I didn't. But I remember I've got other things to do in my life. I don't give a damn about Monday Night Football. Anyway, I remember, but JT posted this morning. Apparently, there was something where there was like a false start or something like that was never called.
Oh, yeah. No, there was a... The left tackle...
Regale me with the story.
And I'm a pretty die-easy Chiefs fan also. So I'm like the guy who will sit there and go, well, that was holding and they got away with it. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, I guess there was one play where it was just like a blatant false start.
Well, but the left tackle, Juwan Taylor, has been doing that his entire career. Mm-hmm. Like, when they signed him, you went back to his previous team, he jumps the snap every mm-hmm. single time. It's sort of like what Mark Schlereth used to say as an offensive lineman. He'd go up to the ref at the beginning of a game and go, I'm going to hold him all day. Like, I hope you understand that. So you either can call holding on me every single play, or you can let me hold him and call it every once in a while. And that's sort of the example we use with him is he's going to false start or he's going to go early every single time. Like, it's just in his DNA. So either the refs have to every single time the Chiefs haven't even ran a play because they're backed up into their own end zone because this guy cannot functionally not jump the snap, or you sit there and you go, that was one we missed.
You know, it's funny, as you were mentioning, I was just thinking about that play in the Sunday Raider game where Crosby jumped the snap and ended up getting to the quarterback and ended up getting like a 15-yard rough in the pass or whatever the hell the damn thing was. It just seems to me that it's two different levels of authority. You know what I mean?
Well, it's sort of like in that Vikings game where the ref is right the bleep there and is staring at the helmet as it's getting pulled by the face mask, and it goes, oh, I didn't see that. I was looking at something else. What else could... You're behind him.
I don't know, man. You would figure with 21st century technology that we could... I mean, that was the point of replay in the first place, was so that these egregious calls or lack of calls therein would have been taken care of. That was the point of replay in the first place.
And there's always that weird element of, like... And to baseball, I kind of like a little bit of like human error because then you get the fun moments where like, oh, like you get to complain about something. And I think naturally people are complainers. And so you get to complain, what is he talking about? Of course that was outside. Where if it's just all robots, I don't love that. But in football, it seems very much like there were a couple there were a couple penalties last night, or at least flags that were thrown, where they all huddled together and then they had to go, there is no flag on the play.
Yep.
And that's just, that's New York now being able to at least go in there and go, dude, pick that up.
Yeah.
Nobody, like, we got commercials to sell. Can we please move this along?
Yeah.
And what was it? Was it two Thursdays ago? I can't quite recall, but it felt like there was a flag every third play.
I don't know if that was a Thursday game or not, but I do remember a game like that in just in the past couple of weeks where it just seemed like every play, boom, flag, boom, flag, boom, flag, you know, and it just, and the series of downs took something like 8 or 9 minutes.
Right, but they only ran like 7 plays or something because it was like, well, we got in field goal range just by us being doofuses or by the refs exerting their power. And that's never a fun thing to watch.
No.
Let's
be honest. The NFL this year has not exactly been a fun thing to watch in a lot of cases.
Does it feel that way to you too?
It does.
It's like the injuries are up, the penalties are up, but the actual like performances have kind of been like outside of an incredible catch by a Jets player and a guy being out by a foot, we don't have as many like, oh my God, this is such a great, it's a lot of like, you're looking running back, into the back of a guard's butt.
Yeah, you're looking back at the highlights on a Sunday, and there's nothing here that's really just blowing my mind. Maybe there's one or two decent plays from a couple of games, but for me to sit there for 3 hours and watch that stuff on a Sunday is just, God, it's becoming more and more painful to get through an NFL game these days.
Which is so weird because I remember watching a Browns-Titans game, which I think both teams... former Raider Brian Hoyer, I believe, was the Browns quarterback at the time. And it was just the most meaningless game in the world. And I remember being able to be just absolutely invested. Just invested in this 3-10 or 3-7 slugfest. And being like, this has my attention. I am totally invested. And now this year I'm kind of like, all right, yeah, this game's going pretty. What's going on in my phone?
Yeah, that's the thing.
And maybe it's time just as I'm getting older, my attention span is going.
Yeah, I find it hard to pay attention to a football game for 3 hours. I mean, so between the political ads that just turn me off immediately, and then just, you know, three and out, and I, God, why? Why would I watch that?
Yeah.
I've got Pluto TV. I don't necessarily need to watch that sort of thing.
I said before we came on the air, I may not have a hot take, but I might have the worst hot take now that you said that.
Oh, please,
Do you think some of these teams actually need the fourth preseason game? Like, they need the extra time to, like, hey, guys, could you work out this offense and this defense a little bit better? Because you come into the season, and it looks like you're still doing your homework in your head.
Well, I got to tell you, just from what I'm seeing, oh, hell no.
All right.
You know, because, I mean, you're not playing anybody anyway. I mean, look at it. I mean, you got, all right, right now you got what, 3 preseason games? How many times are you putting out all your players? Like, almost none of them.
All right, that's fair, yeah.
You know, it's like my kid.
I spent the extra week of prep.
You know, it's like my kid's sister back in Boston. I call her my kid's sister. She's like 53. Anyway, you know, and she's back in Boston. And the only game she can afford to go to every year is like a preseason game with the Patriots, and she's a Giants fan. Don't ask me why, but she'll go to the Patriots and the Giants because they play like every August. And she'll go to that game, and that's the one she can go to. And half the time you're going to these games, and nobody's playing. You know, you might as well go watch BC and Iona. It's the same damn thing.
Actually, some years BC and Iona might be a better matchup.
Right, exactly. That's my point. And but these guys are paying money for the tickets. That's the only damn game she can afford to go to. And there's other people with season tickets that are spending money to go see this preseason garbage. And I kind of feel bad for him because these are the only games these guys can afford.
I just think that there needs to be and I know Bill Belichick always used to say that, like, the first two games are basically an extension of the preseason. It's everybody's still learning. Everybody's still doing it. And I think people need to show up to work.
Yeah.
And not be doing.
Yeah.
Like getting ready
instead of
halfway
like,
through the.
Yeah, instead of like a month and a half. Yeah. Preseason workouts, and then you get to the first game, and nobody knows what the hell they're doing.
Exactly.
Dude, thank you for coming in here. I do appreciate it very greatly, so that way I didn't have to go blah, 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 for 15 minutes. Thank you very much. When we come back, we are going to do something for the Raider kids. We are going to play that Alexander Madison interview I've been threatening, and then maybe we'll play some rock and roll when we get out of here. 702-365-9200. My name is Bobby, and I am filling in for Mr. The Brick today here on Raider Nation Radio, 920 AM. Get me out of here.
Welcome back to the JT The Brick Show, brought to you by Commissario Tequila, the official tequila of the JT The Brick Show.
I'll be with you in a second. Crank it up, kid. Okay, that's enough. That's enough. I happen to love that song. That's actually the Grateful Dead doing an Elvis cover of a song called The Promised Land. It's one of my favorites, actually. Anyway, I'm going to wrap this thing up real quick. The Raiders were kind enough to send me an interview with somebody from the Raider organization and Alexander Mattison, and here it is.
It was born from a feeling of wanting to do more, wanting to be more than just a football player. I always knew it was bigger than football, and finally having the platform and having the opportunity to make it that, I owed it to myself, I owed it to my family, I owed it to anybody that, you know, had been a part of my life to live that out. That's where the I Am Gifted Foundation, the I Am Gifted brand was born. It's more than that, it's a movement. We just want to encourage people that everyone was born with a gift, and you just have to find yours, use it, embrace it, and use it to shed light in this world.
What are you grateful for? And I'm just grateful that I had the opportunity to wear that silver and black.
Say one more time for the people in the back.
You'll just see the unity, the passion, the family, everything that the Black Hole stands for.
Raider Nation, what's going on? It's time for an all-new episode of Raiders Talk of the Nation. I'm Sibley Scholes, joined by one of our very own sporty silver and black, you already know, number 22, Alexander Mattison.
Before we get into everything, obviously being here with the Raiders coming on this year, I want to talk about 22 really quickly. For the fans who don't know, you've worn that in high school as well, college here, the team prior. We'll get into that as well, too. What is the significance of 22 for you?
It was a moment where, so I wore number 2 as a kid. And I got to high school, and I was just being realistic. Like, no running back in the NFL can wear a single digit right at that time before, you know, the rules changed and everything. But I was like, you know, if I want to keep my number in college and in the pros, then I'm going to have to double it up and give myself the best chance to like end up at 22 my whole career. And it worked out, you know, high school 22, college 22. And then I'd switch it up because I ran into, you know, a guy, Harrison Smith, who, you know, he wasn't going to come out of that number.
He's like, that's mine.
Yeah, but it feels good to be back in it. And the 2 is special to me. You know, I refer to it as my angel numbers, 222. So it also has that significance for me too.
That angel number, let people know what that means exactly.
Yeah, it's just, you know, a spiritual number that has meaning. And you know, for me, the 222, that hope, and it's just something that I keep near and dear to my heart.
Yeah, we like that. See, we knew there was something behind that. San Bernardino, what was it like growing up there? What was the influence for you? How did sports become a part of your life?
I mean, you know, it was a rough upbringing. San Bernardino, you know, if you do your research, it's definitely not known for the best thing. So navigating through that was a rough childhood in that sense. But having my family, having my mom and dad, my aunt, my uncle, my brothers, my cousins, the tight-knit family, the strong in faith family that we were, made everything so much better. And then, of course, you know, the love of football. My brother started playing football and I was too young to play. So I ended up playing soccer when I was 5. And I remember just being on the, you know, side of his practices, warming up, mocking their drills. And my parents, they saw how serious I was, so they let me play when I was 6. And I fell in love with the game and never looked back. And that was one of my motivating factors and driving factors to help get me out and help not only get out, but use my platform once I got out to come back and make the city better. And so, you know, to this day, I hold the 909 with pride, got it tatted on me, and everything I do, I carry it with me.
That's pretty remarkable to be so young and to acknowledge, you know, your surroundings like that and want to make that change later in life, and you're doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a blessing.
How often do you go back? I mean, I'm sure it's back and forth easy now, right?
Yeah, definitely a lot easier now, being a 3-hour drive away. But I mean, I go back every off season when we have our breaks, you know, that summer gap, go back, I host my camp back home. I do scholarships with my alma mater. I do a lot of different things back home just to try and bring some hope, spread some love and positivity.
Even though the things that you saw there growing up and knowing like you want to bring that positivity and change the way things are there for the best, you know, for the good, what's the one thing you learned about yourself growing up there?
That's a great question. I learned how resilient I am. And that's something that I'm glad that I was able to figure out, you know, one day looking at myself in the mirror, understanding, you know, all that I've been through, the adversity that I've had to overcome, the adversity that I've had to see my parents overcome, that it was in me to be resilient and fight through any adversity that comes my way. And I think that's probably something that, you know, to this day I carry with me, is that San Bernardino spirit of resilience and grit.
I love that. Had to think about that one for a second,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, a little bit. I've never been asked that question. It's good to, like, vocalize. Yeah,
to say it out loud. Well, the resilience continued from a young one to college, being there, the career success that you had, Boise State. Because I do want to talk to you about a player running back that's coming out of there right now. I'm sure you know who I'm going to mention. But talk to me about the influence that had and just the success you had while you were there.
Yeah, it was a one-of-a-kind atmosphere, one-of-a-kind place to be. I'm glad that I got to experience playing on the blue. It's that culture is contagious there, the winning culture, the blue-collar mindset. And I was blessed to receive an offer and blessed to get the insight and the feeling of, you know, this is where I need to be to go there and experience that. And it's one of those places that I tell people, look, you know, you might think of, you know, Bama and this and that when it comes down to like being on the big stage, but you know, it's one of those places. I'm here today 6 years in because of a lot of those values and that work ethic that I built on top of you know, everything that I've worked my whole life for, but at Boise State University. So yeah, it's an amazing place.
Good times. The kid I'm talking about, Ashton.
Yeah.
Jenty.
Ashton Jenty, yes.
Okay, I was listening to Marshawn talk about him with Mike Robb recently. He's one to watch.
Yes, he's one of one.
How does it, yes, one of one. I think Marshawn even said that too. He's him. What is it about him and his game? Do you, like, what do you attribute to his success that he's having over there right now?
Man, it's, he's just got, he's got the it factor. He has, I think, the perfect balance of where his height, weight, strength, speed, everything is just put together properly, where he's really compact and explosive, and that helps him get out of a lot of different tackles, and he has the top end speed to run away from guys. And then of course, like I said, that mentality, that blue collar work ethic. He's not going to just settle for a 50-yard run. He's going to try and get that 62-yard touchdown, whether it's fighting off five guys at the end at the goal line or not. So yeah, he's just one of a kind, and it's so great to see a great player in him, but a great person too, you know, having a conversation, a relationship with him outside of football. He's just a great human being, and it's just amazing to see. And I love that he's rocking the two, you know.
It looks even better in the two. You're like, you look good in that.
Yeah.
The influence that I'm sure, again, like you said, knowing him off the field, and you guys have a great relationship, you're an influence to him, I'm sure, and he influences you.
Yeah.
You know, but your time in college and then coming into the league, who were some guys that you looked at or influences that you had coming in?
Yeah, definitely. It's funny you mentioned Marshawn Lynch was one of the huge influences on my game. Him, Adrian Peterson, Jamal Charles, those were pretty much three of the backs that I kind of molded my game after watching growing up and, you know, learning. And it was just one of those things where it was, you see a player, you kind of can see a little bit of yourself, and you use what they have to kind of mold and shape your game. But I'm glad that I wasn't the type of kid to say like, oh, this is my favorite player and that's the only player, but to pull from a bunch of different players, because they all have different skill sets that make them unique. So just watching them and learning from them, it was definitely a big impact on my game.
do you have a relationship with those guys? And it's cool you landed at both those teams,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
Minnesota and Raiders.
Yeah, I got AP locked in my phone now. Marshawn Lynch, I've met a few different times now and had some conversations with him. I'm not yet connected with Jamal Charles, but yeah, it's awesome to see. I kind of gave AP the old man comment after my rookie year.
What'd you say?
We played them, and he was, at that time, he went to Washington.
Yeah.
And after the game, you know, he came up to me, and we were talking, we had a moment, and, you know, I had a pretty good game, so he was like, he called me Beast Mode 2.0, and I was just like, yo, this is crazy, this is AP. And I told him, I said, man, I grew up watching you, and I was like, oh, I don't mean to make you feel, I'm sorry. In the moment, you know, I was like, I'm sorry, but like, man, I looked up to you. I look up to you still to this day. So
yeah
it was awesome.
That's cool to have those moments. And now he's in your phone.
Yeah.
And you guys are cool. You can call him, I'm sure, for anything. I like to ask guys who are in the league about the college experience and then going into the league. What's the comparison between those two, and how do guys, you know, go from what you do to being in that actual game?
It's a big difference. When you get out there on the field, it doesn't matter. It's between the lines. You know, you have 53 yards horizontally, and linebackers can move lateral. Some of those DBs on the back end, they can come downhill really fast. And it's about, you know, being strategic. It's about learning angles. It's about learning how to manipulate a defense, how to manipulate your angles to combat what a defense is bringing at you. So for me, I look at it in a whole different mindset when it comes down to game speed. And that's what makes a big difference. And that's what, you know, some of these young guys coming in, they have to really adjust to at first.
Remember that. That's a tip. Adjusting. Yeah. Understanding. Like, it's going to be a little different, but you got this.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Well, here we are. Raiders emblem right there looking at us. Silver and black, suiting up for the first time, and that, knowing the history of this organization and what you're playing for in your career right now, what does it feel like to you to have that honor?
It feels special, especially being a Southern California kid. It's something that, you know, I grew up around, knowing so many different people and seeing so many people. I mean, you see growing up in the neighborhood, people have it tatted on the side of their head, or like, It's one of those, like, Raider Nation is special. And so now being a part of it and seeing it, I just love it so much. And the grit, the mentality behind what it means to put on the silver and black is all that much more special when you dig into the history and you dive into what it really means to be a Raider. It's an honor.
Is it cool too? Do you get to interact with any of the alumni? A lot of the guys come around too.
Yeah. And one of my mentors who helped be a mentor to me since I was in the fifth grade, Greg Bell. He spent some time here, so he does some of the alumni stuff, and it's awesome for him to kind of share some of his stories with me as well.
When you think of Raider Nation, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
It's funny. I think of like the crazy like costumes and stuff. Like, I don't know, whenever I hear it and think of it, I just remember always seeing some crazy mask or face paint.
It's called war paint.
War paint, there it goes.
Get it right.
Yeah, I know, the war paint. I love the war paint and like the shoulder pads with the spikes.
Yes.
Like that's, I remember being a kid and seeing that. And I was
Violator.
Like,
that is amazing. About Violator.
I love it.
Yes, I'm gonna tell Violator you shouted him out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shout out to the Violator.
Besides, you know, what you do, you know, on the field as an NFL player, you have such a philanthropic background. You do so much. I know it's coming from the heart. You can tell it without even knowing your stories. I know recently you posted your foundation. You're relaunching it. Yeah. So a new look, more involvement, even more than what you had before, to make sure it continues to go where you want it to go. Can you give us some background on that, how it started, what you do in your foundation?
Yeah, definitely. For me, it was born from a feeling of wanting to do more, wanting to be more than just a football player. I always knew it was bigger than football, and finally having the platform and having the opportunity to make it that, I owed it to myself, I owed it to my family, I owed it to anybody that, you know, had been a part of my life, to live that out. And because I've always, you know, had that mentality in high school, college, and finally getting to the NFL, I didn't want to just slap Alexander Mattison on some t-shirts or slap my face on some merchandise and have a camp or anything like that, but I wanted it to be more than that. So that's why I took my time with it, and I remember having a conversation with my mom, and she's always showing love and re-emphasizing to us, you know, how special we are, how loved we are, how gifted we are. And I remember a conversation we had where she was just kind of giving me those positive affirmations, and it stuck with me months later. I thought about it, and I was like, what do I want my brand? What do I want this to be? And that's where I came up with the movement of I Am Gifted, and using, you know, my initials to mean more than just Alexander Mattison, but to mean something deep. And so that's where the I Am Gifted Foundation, the I Am Gifted brand was born. It's more than that. It's a movement. We would just want to encourage people that everyone was born with a gift, and you just have to find yours, use it, embrace it, and use it to shed light in this world. You know, I went through a dark time in college where I almost walked away from the game of football because, you know, life, it was a lot of adversity. And, you know, I shared the resilience that I found within myself. Really, I was able to find that through that dark time and understand that, you know, at the end of the day, I am loved. And I used my support system, leaned on them heavy. And I just remember thinking about some of the people that I come to know that took the opposite route of, right, you know, taking their life. And for me, it was a wake-up call that, you know, I'm not the only one going through a rough time. And if there's someone going through anything even similar or worse or whatever it may be, the lack of knowledge for resources, the lack of support, yeah, can lead down to a bad decision like that. So for me, when I was able to find the light in a dark time, I understood that I needed to shed my light. I needed to be that light, just a little bit of light in someone's dark time, and that could be helpful. So that's why I wanted to just spread the love and positivity in the world and let my gift shine. So that's where I Am Gifted was born.
Oh, well, thank your mom too for that, right?
Yeah.
Thank mom. And I love, this is one of the hats.
Yeah, yeah.
I Am Gifted. Oh, it's good. I'm sure you do that with your own kids, you know, read,
yeah,
affirmations, definitely, even though they're very, very young.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that in just a second.
Yeah.
I know, and you mentioned, you know, going through the dark times, having resilience. You're very vocal about this as well. The Crucial Catch Initiative, I know you're a part of that. Your dad being resilient and beating, going fight the leukemia fight that he went through. I know that's a lot on families, and having to get through that. Were you able to all rely on each other as a family to make sure you could get through that and make sure he was okay?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it was huge, huge moment where we came together as a family. It was big for us, not knowing what the outcome would be,
right,
but to stay strong through that because, you know, one person is going through it a little bit more rough than another person one day, maybe. My mom needing, you know, a hug. My brother needing a hug, me needing a hug, like whatever it was, we were able to lean on one another and continue to stay strong through it, have strong in God's plan, and understand that, you know, whatever it was, whatever it may be, it's all going to be okay. And I'm glad that he's here today. I'm glad that he won that fight, but definitely made us stronger as a family.
And something else that's making you stronger, week one against the Chargers, you had to skedaddle. You had, yeah, to get out because a baby was being born.
Yeah.
Your son,
yes,
right? Okay, so let's talk about that really quickly before you go. But I also got this,
oh,
for,
wow,
him.
Thank you.
Hopefully he can wear it. You can look at it.
Okay, let's see what it, oh, wow. This is.
Now, those just came out. I know you're with the Raiders, and you could probably get whatever you want, but look, those just came out today. So.
Oh, I love it. I
and
love
it's
it.
Getting cooler weather.
Yeah, yeah, he'll be ready to go.
talk about being a dad. Obviously, you have a little girl. Now you have,
yeah,
your little boy. She's going to be, you know, big sis.
Yeah.
What's it mean to you to be a dad in this moment in your life, you know, for a second time around, and to have that strong family bond with your wife as well?
Yeah, I mean, it means the world to me. It brings a whole new purpose to life. It brings a whole new purpose to everything that I do. You know, I mean, it started out with my daughter. You know, it was just like being a girl dad was, I mean, it is one of the most fulfilling things that will ever happen to me. That's even why I went with the pink, you know, and then I ended up trying to go with the blue, and
yeah.
when it was his turn, I was like, I'm gonna give him the blue, but it kind of started to bleed out a little.
Didn't work.
Yeah, same. It didn't work out. So yeah. I went back to the pink, you know, but it's amazing. It is, just to see them every day, to see myself in them, to see my wife in them. When you create your own little human being, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. And she's already now being so, so caring for her brother and, you know, giving him kisses on the forehead and calling him her little brother and everything. So, yeah, it's amazing. I don't take it lightly to have this opportunity to be a father and to leave a legacy. So, yeah, they're a big motivation factor for me.
Do you want to give them a message? Which camera is his, guys? This one? I know that they're very, very young, but
yeah.
Give it and we'll cut it for you. You can have
yeah.
it. You want to give them a message?
Yeah. Alea, Akil, Daddy loves you, and everything that I do is for you. One day, you'll be old enough to understand that all the love that me and your mother have for you will pay off. And, you know, when we say no, it's not a bad thing. It's to help you learn. And I just love you guys so much, and I can't wait for you to run the world.
That's so sweet.
Thank you. Thank
when they get older, they're gonna watch that. They're gonna love it.
Yeah.
Okay. Last but not least, I start Spanish classes on Tuesday.
Uh oh.
So we're gonna start communicating. ¿Tú hablas español?
Sí. Yo hablo español.
Fluently?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Bilingual. So number one, where did it come from? Because we always see you on Los Raiders, the channel, always. Where did you learn that? Is that just been a part of your life since you were young?
My mom learned about a program called the Dual Immersion Program. And my brothers were too old to enter it. You had to do it before first grade. And so I was in kindergarten, she learned about it, and she's like, okay, you're gonna do this. And I kind of had no choice. It was just like, put me in it, and didn't know much about it, but it's a program where you start out learning Spanish at a young age with your core classes,
okay.
And it carries all the way through high school.
Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show, brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka, America's original craft vodka. Visit titosvodka.com.
Actually do a pretty good Elvis. That ain't bad at all. You can kill it now. I've heard enough. Welcome back to the JT the Brick Show. It's Bobby filling in for one more segment. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for paying attention. I had to play that one for my girl. She's a big Elvis fan, so I wanted to get out there and play something for her. Hey, baby. Hope you're listening. I'll talk to you later. Hang in there. I miss you a bunch. She's a good kid. She's really nice to me. It's kind of really super unique for me because if you know me at all, you know that my type of woman is not necessarily the one I am with at the moment. I'm naturally known for just, if you can find a bisexual stripper with a coke habit, that's the next Mrs. Machado. But here we are, and I've got this really sweet, kind, wonderful Christian woman, which is very strange for me, and I'm really, it's a major learning curve for me trying to, you know, I'm just used to, you know, strippers and hookers and things like that. But anyway, she's really sweet to me. It's really cool. So, hey, thanks for being out there, babe. 702-365-9200. I got a couple minutes to kill. I might just take a call or two, maybe. We'll see. For those of you that are looking for me on Twitter, by the way, I have to let you on a little secret. I'm not on Twitter. I know. I'm literally the only person in this entire building that's not on Twitter. I have no use for being on there, man. I'm on Facebook if you want to search Bobby Machado, B-O-B-B-Y, Machado, figure it out for yourself. I do actually have a few listeners and a few callers that I allow in there on occasion, but ordinarily not very often. But Twitter, screw Twitter. I have no interest in that. That is literally like a bleeping cesspool of humanity, and I'm just not into any of that kind of stuff. I'm much more of a just a horny little devil with all full of peace and love and just a little bit of go bleep yourself on the side. That's what that's the way they describe me, from what I've been told. Oh, my God. I'm so glad this show is almost over. I am looking forward to getting the hell out of here. I am going to do everything I can to avoid all election coverage tonight. I am not watching one bit of that stuff tonight. If it's important, I will hear about it. There'll be a YouTube video. I'll get the hang of it. No big deal. You know, one. I did want to say one thing regarding politics, and not to be on either side, because if you pick a side, you immediately lose half your audience. And right now, my entire audience is Jessica. So, but you know, one thing that really weirds me out is that I will never understand people that go out and buy merch to support a politician. I just never got that, man. I mean, I see people walking around with like T-shirts and red hats and other such things to support their various political parties and factions and whatnot. I just look at it as like just you might as well be wearing a Kansas City Chiefs hat. You might as well be wearing a Patriots jersey or whatever. Politicians are not there to be revered, and they're not there to be fanboyed and all this kind of thing. Politicians work for you. That's what they're supposed to do. Don't turn them into like, oh my God, I'm your biggest fan. No. The purpose is people that are supposed to be there doing your bidding in Washington. Don't put up with this stuff with flags and hats and T-shirts and whatnot. Just let it all go, man. It's not healthy for you. I've always had a problem with people that make their self-worth all about their political party or their sports team or whatever. There's a whole lot more going on in life, man, than just that. You should open yourself up to much more varied interests than just sports. God, that's got to be boring after a while. I mean, even JT, God, you know him and you know what his thing is. But at least he has a wife and he's got kids and he's got a family that he's concerned with. And he's got music and he's got friends that he goes out and hangs out with. It's not all just sports 24 hours a day, man. Of course, then again, I do love you guys for your sport takes because you've managed to keep me in business for 30 years and you've managed to pay for a lot of my bills and stuff. So I'm grateful about that. But there's other things in life, man. You really should open yourself up to it. By the way, you've noticed we played a lot of live music here today. That's actually, I broke two rules. I'm not allowed to play live music on the air at all. But every rejoin was, because I'm a big concert guy. I don't know about y'all, but I've got a collection of bootleg concerts back at home. I've got to have like about 500 or 600 of them. Just tons of them. Probably like 100 Grateful Dead, another 75 Aerosmith, another 70 Led Zeppelin, that kind of thing. So I just personally like live music, and I just got a ton of it at home, and that's what I generally speaking listen to. I don't know about you guys. I know a lot of you guys like listen to Taylor Swift and Bruno Mars and such things. I'm a classic rock and roller guy, man. I can listen to Van Halen and Black Sabbath, Deep Purple, Aerosmith. I can listen to that stuff all day long. During the daytime, it's mostly a metal thing, though. Metallica, Megadeth, Anthrax, Slayer, all that good stuff. But when I get home at night, I just can't do it, man. I am much more into listening to a good old Dead show, light one up, eat some cookies, hang out with my dog, talk to my girl. You know, that's much more important to me. But that's just me. What the hell do I know? You have been listening to the JT The Brick Show. My name is Bobby Machado. I'm the producer of this fiasco, and I think I might actually be doing this again on tomorrow because I think we've got Doug Douglas coming in either Thursday or Friday, and then I've got a whole bunch of tape I think I'm going to play on Friday. But Wednesday, I think I might just do this again. Nobody's complained so far. Hi, Sylvia. Nobody's complained so far, so we'll see what happens. Are we at a minute yet? Jesus, God almighty, I'm trying to make stuff up here to talk about. Oh, I don't know how the hell JT does it every day, man. 2 hours just trying to milk this thing out, talking about nothing but the Raiders. Damn, that's got to be rough. Me, myself, I like other things. What are you guys watching tonight? The Celtics played last night, so I won't be watching them. The Golden Knights play tomorrow night. I think I don't even know who the hell they're taking on. I've run their games, and I still don't know who the hell they're taking on. Golden Knights are doing pretty good this year if you're a hockey guy. 7-3-1 out of the first 11 games, so that's pretty good. I mean, everybody thought they were going to be bottom dwellers in the Pacific, but they're having a pretty good season so far. So the more they win, the more money I make. So go team go. And that's about all I got to say about that. Red Sox are in their offseason. How about the Dodgers winning the World Series? The best team money can buy, huh? It's amazing. Oh, look, the music. I can get the hell out of here. Thank you. Lord Jesus, thank you. Don't worry, I think I'm going to come back and do this tomorrow. I think tomorrow I'm going to drag in Demo Dave, and we're going to talk about Pink Floyd for 20 minutes. Who knows? Thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for not turning it off. Thank you guys for not, like, calling up the office complaining about me. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you, baby. Thank you, everybody. I will talk to you tomorrow, I think, and if not, it'll be somebody else so you can hear my baby dinging me right now. Anyway, it's time for me to get the bleep out of here. Q is up next. He's going to do a much better sports show than I do. And Ari's going to hang around here. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow when we may or may not have a new president, which we won't discuss. Later.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.